Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Where does the latest Egypt Air disaster fit into the ISIS war in the Middle East, if at all? Flight MS-804 crashed into the Mediterranean early this morning with 66 people on board. The cause of the crash is not yet known, but Egypt's aviation minister says a terror attack or technical problem cannot be ruled out, as the plane, an Airbus 320, was at its cruising altitude of 37,000 feet when it disappeared from radar. How vulnerable is Egyptian and aviation security? David Kirkpatrick is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. David, what does this say about Egypt Air, and what are the feelings regarding its security vulnerability in the wake of this tragedy?
What's worrisome is that this is now the third crash that we're seeing handled by Egyptian aviation investigators. I'm thinking of the Flight 990 that crashed near the U.S., the Russian jet that was brought down by a terrorist near Sharm el-Sheikh last fall, and now this. And the pattern is obfuscation from the Egyptian government. They've got a track record now of politicized and not very illuminating investigations.
And what does that do to passengers and people inside Egypt regarding their sense of, you know, the institutions in the country, let alone people outside of Egypt who have little interest in flying on an airline where this is the response?
Well, you're talking to a frequent passenger on Egypt Air. I landed just this week on an Egypt Air flight from London. And I will say that I say a little prayer at every takeoff and landing. The problem isn't that I distrust Egypt Air. It's that I don't necessarily trust the Egyptian government to make an honest and public accounting of what went wrong in any of these instances, which makes it harder to correct those issues in the future. Right now, the Egyptian economy is really being devastated by the damage to the tourism industry that was done in the aftermath of the crash of that Russian jet. And a lot of that damage, I think, is self-inflicted. If the Egyptians had, in an open and forthright way, said, look, this is what happened. There was a bomb. Here's how it got it on. We're correcting that. Everything's in place. Then I think they could bring the tourists back. But they've done nothing of the kind. They have continued to deny that it was a terrorist attack or that they know it was a terrorist attack, even after the president of Egypt, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, in apparently sort of impromptu aside in a speech, acknowledged that, in fact, it was a terrorist bomb. So they've really lost quite a bit of credibility.
Do Egyptians believe they are a target in the battle with Al-Qaeda or, ISIS, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's an insurgency centered in the North Sinai that is now taking up the flag of the Islamic State, and it continues to wage a war against the Egyptian security forces and against the government of President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. And since October, when they brought down that Russian jet, they've declared to the world that they are no longer simply fighting the Egyptian security forces, but are willing to take down planes and go after civilians as well in the interest of damaging the Egyptian state. And that's a sea change for the nature of the insurgency, and I think it puts everyone on alert. I mean, it's a much greater risk to anyone doing business in Egypt right now.
Does ISIS control any territory in Egypt, even on the border area?
Well, as I said, there's a chunk of the North Sinai that they might be said to control, a kind of a small triangle in the North Sinai where they are said to set up checkpoints, and the Egyptian military withdraws at night, and they're more or less in control. I'm not allowed to go there. So I have to rely on other reports. The Egyptian military keeps that a closed military area, and they absolutely will not let Westerners or international correspondents visit the area.
David Kirkpatrick, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, David.
Always a pleasure.